Exodus chapter 3. I hope that this series has helped you. I want to review if I can, because we finally got really to the good stuff in Exodus chapter 3. And we talked about the fact that when God finally got Moses' attention, we went through all the different things that had to change in Moses' life for Moses to listen to what God had to say. And then when God said, listen, I'm going to send you into Egypt to do this great task, obviously Moses had some questions and some doubts, and God began to address them. And so God began to make these statements to Moses that these are the things you need to know before you step out and go. If God's asked you to do it, God has it all taken care of. But as God asks for you a step of faith, you and I need to get a hold of some principles of God's word. If you'll notice first, we talked about in verse 12 of Exodus chapter 3 that God said that he would provide his presence. He said, I will be with thee. We discussed that. Number two, we talked about his provision, that God said in verse 18 that I will bring you up out of the affliction. And then God said, I will take you to a land flowing with milk and honey. God's provision. Then third, we talked about his protection in verse 20. If you'll notice in verse 20, God said, I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt. I will protect. So what else do we need to know before God asks us to go? Notice if you would verse 20, as we'll pick up today and then pray. Look at verse 20. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt. Notice this. With all my wonders, which I will do. God said, I will do wonders in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. Number four, his power. Before you step out by faith, you need to know something. God is going to provide you something special. His power. Let's pray. Lord, I love you. Lord, I've seen you do many wonders in my life. Over my years, dear Lord, as maybe unexperienced as I might be in some areas, I sure have seen you do the miraculous. And Lord, I don't know what all you might be asking of each person here today. I just believe that you're asking something from each one of them. Lord, you have not saved any of us to sit. You've not saved any of us to stay exactly like we are. You've saved us to serve you and glorify you and represent you and to do something for you. God, whatever you might be stirring in the hearts of those who are here this morning, I pray that you would help me as I try to show from your word some promises that you have given to those that are willing to step out and do what you've asked them to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. His power. God said, now listen, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to smite Egypt. But let me tell you how I'm going to do that. I am going to display some wonders. And God said, that's what I'm going to do in the midst thereof. Now notice verse 20. He says, the wonders that I will do in the midst thereof. What does he mean in the midst thereof? Where is he talking about? He's talking about Egypt. He said, Moses, this is what I'm asking you to do, and this is what I want you to be willing to step out by faith to do, and I'm going to protect you. I'm going to smite Egypt, but let me tell you this. I'm going to give you my power. I am going to do some wonders there that you have never seen. His power. Have you ever seen the power of God? Have you ever felt or experienced or saw what the power of God did? Now, what was God talking about here? Well, let me say this first, that we have to understand what this word wonders means. Now, we always just think, well, okay, he does something wonderful, and God certainly does that. But let me give you this illustration, this definition, excuse me. It says to separate, to distinguish something great, something difficult, something wonderful, something that's hidden, something that's hard, something that's too high to understand, something that's marvelous. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. Something hidden, something that's too high to understand. God said, Moses, if you will just step out, be faithful, obey, just do what I've asked you to do, that I will do things that you've never seen. I will do things that you can't explain. I will do things that you never noticed. I will do things that cannot be described. If you do what I've asked you to do, then I'll make sure whatever needs to happen for you to do it, I'll do it. I will do wonders. Well, you say, well, preacher, what all was God referring to there? Well, I'm glad you asked. Little did Moses know as he stood there at the base of that mountain that as he would step out by faith and he would eventually end up there in Egypt, and he would literally tell the children of Israel that God has provided a promised land and God has asked us to step out. And literally, as Moses ended up in the presence of Pharaoh himself, and Moses looked to Pharaoh and said that God has sent me to tell you to let God's people go, to let us get out of this bondage, out of this slavery. Little did Moses know what would take place. Now, Pharaoh, the Bible said, his heart was hardened. And Pharaoh obviously said no. I'll tell you why, because he had thousands upon thousands of people that he was getting free labor out of. They were in slavery, they were in bondage, and they were doing all the work, and they were the ones sweating, and they were the ones making nothing, and they were the ones barely getting along, and Pharaoh enjoyed that, and who wouldn't enjoy that, I guess? And here Moses shows up. So here's what God did. Let me tell you a few of the wonders. If you haven't studied this lately, and I know you've seen the movie, as I bring up every week, God decided that if Pharaoh won't listen to me, that I'm going to do some wonders in the midst thereof. And this is what he told Moses. He said, and after that, he will let you go. So he decided to send some plagues. Now, they had never seen any of these things. And by the way, God is great at doing some things you've never seen. So the first plague, God decided, since Pharaoh's heart was hardened, God sent the first plague, which was turning the water of the Nile River to blood. Now, just imagine. Out of the Nile River is where they got their food. That's where all the fish were that they caught. Out of the Nile River is where they bathed. Out of the Nile River is where literally they got their drinking supply. That's where they got their water. And God said through the hand of Moses to Pharaoh, you need to let my people go and let them loose. And Pharaoh said, I would not. And God literally turned the entire Nile River to blood. Could you imagine as they got out and time to take a bath? Nope. Time to get a drink? Nope. No food? And you can make it a while with no food, but you try to make it very long with no water. God did something nobody had ever seen. Who would have thought, you know what I think I'm going to do? I'm going to turn all the water to blood. What? What in the world was God doing? God was doing what he does. He does wonders. So Pharaoh, what did he say? All right, God, I'll let him go. And so then God took the plague away, and of course Pharaoh immediately changed his mind. So God said, I'm going to do another wonder. And what did he do? He sent a plague of frogs. Some of you are like, oh, frogs are cute. Fully rely on God. Which is true, by the way, and a good thing. This weren't those type of frogs. The Bible says that literally out of the Nile River, God brought so many frogs that you almost could not even see the ground anywhere you looked. Frogs were everywhere. The Bible says that the frogs came into their houses, the frogs came into their bedrooms. The Bible then says that the frogs came into their beds. Of course, that's convenient. Your wife says, what was that? Well, it was a frog. What was that noise? It was a frog. That's what my uncle always said. But anyway, Bible says that the frogs literally showed up in their ovens. Frogs showed up in their dishes. Frogs showed up in their bowls. Literally where they prepared the food, the Bible said. Frogs everywhere. By the way, even God's people were affected by these plagues. Yeah. Nile River is one that sourced everybody. Frogs ended up with everybody. And what did Pharaoh do? I've never seen anything like this. How could God with the snap of a finger? How could anybody with the snap of a finger all of a sudden, frogs are everywhere? So Pharaoh said, I'll let him go. And of course, God took away the plague and Pharaoh's heart changed again. So third, God sent another plague. Lice. Yeah, some of you had it, hadn't you? Now, I've never had lice. Whatever you got to do. This is plastic. I can't knock on wood. Where's wood? I'm not going to knock on the harp, all right? Thanks be to God, but some of you have had lice, and some of you have had to scrub your head 20 and 30 or 40 times. Some of you have had your children that just had a case of lice, and some of you have gotten it, and some of you know exactly what it's like, and some of you know how miserable it can be. And the Bible says that God sent lice, that every person had lice, every animal had lice, every cat, every dog, every cow, every camel, everybody. That was a horrible situation. The Bible says all of a sudden Pharaoh just said, all right, we'll let the people go. And God took away that plague. And of course, he changed his mind again. You got to give it to Pharaoh. He's pretty stubborn. You know, people can be stubborn. But God promised Moses that he would not only do wonders, but that after that, he would let them go. So God decided to send plague number four. But this time he decided he was going to exclude the children of Israel just to get the message through to Pharaoh that now whatever God was going to do was not going to affect the children of Israel anymore. So plague number four, God sent flies. Now it's bad enough in the summertime at a park. Isn't it amazing that, you know, during the fall and the spring, the comfortable time of year, we don't ever have, hot dog cookouts and hamburger cookouts, and we don't sit out in the lawn and decide to play cornhole and horseshoes at a decent weather and decent time of the year. What we do as Americans, we wait till it's 110 outside, and now we're going to cook hot dogs. Yes. Now we're all going to get together so we can all sweat and look at each other dripping. Because we're having fun. Yeah. And that's when we're going to put the food out, when it's hot and flies swarm on it. Flies get on my nerves. My wife and I found this thing. I don't know who told me about it. But you plug it into your house at some outlet. Just plug it in. It's got this blue light on it, the background. You plug it in. It's got two plugs in it so it doesn't block the whole plugs. You can plug it back in and it keeps flies out of your house. And it works. Can you believe it? Let me tell you what else somebody told us about. Brother Stephen Barber in our church said there's this thing you plug in and it's called, what is it? Where's my wife? What is it called? Scent crusher. I have three sons. You plug this into your lighter and it cancels all odor in the car. You say, why'd you bring that up? I just wanted to. All right. And it works too. So my wife and I plug this thing in our house, and it keeps out the flies. And we're just talking a few. Listen, God sent a plague where flies were everywhere. What did Pharaoh do? All right, God, I see what you can do, and I've seen your wonders, and they can go. And God took away the plague, and Pharaoh's heart was changed again. You can give Pharaoh this. He was a stubborn individual. So God sent the next plague. Anybody know your history enough to know what the next one was? It was the plague of livestock. You say, well, what was this plague of livestock? Well, it was literally the fact that every bit of livestock became diseased. And the Bible says that literally the cattle, the camels, the horses, the donkeys, the oxen, the sheep, all became diseased, all except for the horses, the camels, the sheep, the cows, the livestock of the children of Israel. There stayed fine, and all of Pharaoh's and the Egyptians' livestock were diseased immediately. What happens when livestock gets diseased? They what? They die. And when thousands of livestock get diseased and die, how do things smell? And because they're diseased, you can't eat them. God sent this plague. God's taken away their water. Now God sent a plague that took away every bit of their food. Pharaoh said, well, let them go. And God said, okay, he took away the plague, and we know what happened. Pharaoh changed his mind. So God got a little more personal. This has kind of been things outside of the body. So God sent in plague number 6, the plague of boils. The Bible says that God created a dust that literally began to hit Egypt, and it inflicted every man and every beast. Any beast that had survived the disease now became covered with boils. Now, it isn't bad enough we have lice everywhere and frogs everywhere and all these things and, lice and all this stuff. If this wasn't bad enough, now God is getting where it's painful. He put boils on everybody, all except the children of Israel. Talk about amazing. You talk about how could Pharaoh at this point even think, I'm going to continue to take God on? But you know what? I know a lot of people that still try to take God on. And you know the people that normally try to take God on? It's the people sitting in church. Most people outside of church at least have enough common sense not to take God on. They at least know to admit, I'm wrong and I'm sinful. But it's sometimes church people, through their pride and through our arrogance, we can get to the point that we think that we can do what we want to do and God still has to bless us. Do you and I really think we can take on God? God is all powerful. God said, I will do wonders. So Pharaoh comes and says, listen, all right, I'll let him go. Well, we know what happened. So, plague number 7, God decides to send another wonder. He sends literally hail and fire. And all of a sudden, literally, a storm came up across all of Egypt. That hail began to fall at an alarming rate. Not only that, not only was hail falling, but literally hell was falling. He sent fire. Now, can I ask you something? What is hail? And what is fire? How can something that needs to be frozen come out of the same place as fire? I mean, literally, you think they haven't learned anything yet. Now they're looking from the same heaven. Frozen hail is beating upon their bodies, and fire is coming down, consuming them. Wow. So Pharaoh said, hey, okay, Moses, I'll let him go. God stops the plague. Sure enough, so God sends plague number 8, which is locusts. Locusts are grasshoppers, and the Bible says that literally, they're like grasshoppers in a sense. The Bible says literally that the locusts that God sent, they literally covered the face of the earth. Now this time the Bible says you could not see 1 inch of the earth. That means literally it's like God carpeted the entire country with locusts. Locusts came in. They ate. Listen, you say, well, what do locusts do? Well, they consume things. Let me tell you what the locusts ate. Any livestock, any animal that had survived the disease and had survived the boils, the locusts, the Bible says, came and ate anything that was left. Now God had literally taken everything there was. You talk about a wonder. Pharaoh says, all right, I'll let him go. And of course, he changed his mind. So then God decided, all right, let me show you another wonder I can do. And he sent the plague of darkness for 3 days. The Bible says this, listen to me. Not only was there complete darkness, but the Bible says that they could literally feel the darkness. That's as dark as you've ever been. The darkness was so dark that they could feel it. Moses, well, you can't do anything in dark. Moses said, all right, I'll let him go. And of course, he changed his mind. So God decided to bring one last plague. God said, all right, I've been patient. I've given you chance after chance after chance. So now God says, I'm going to send my spirit. And the firstborn of every house will be killed. Now comes in the story as Moses, being through the children of Israel, comes to them. This is the Passover story. And they took the blood of that lamb and they instructed every one of the children of Israel as they put that lamb on the doorpost. When they put that blood of that lamb and you think of the doorpost from the side, the top, in the shape of a cross, you put that on the house. The Bible says, when I come through there, if I see that blood, I will pass over you. This is what else the Bible says that God said, there will be a weeping and a wailing like you've never heard. Sure enough, Pharaoh wouldn't let him go. Moses got everyone ready. God gave some other instructions that I won't go through all the different things. And sure enough, as the sun began to rise, there was a weeping and a wailing like they had never heard. The Bible says that Pharaoh called for Moses. And Pharaoh looked at Moses and he didn't say, I will let you go. He said, leave. Get out. Why did Pharaoh do it? Because Pharaoh knew, next God's going to kill me. God said, Moses, I'm asking you to step out and do something by faith. And I know you don't understand it. And I know you think you're going to get there. And I'm going to tell you right now. And remember, as we talked last week, God told him, Moses' heart, Pharaoh's heart's going to be too hard. He's not going to let you go. I'm telling you right now. But I will do wonders. And I'm here to tell you, when you step out by faith and do something that God's asked you to do, there's going to be some things that are going to come against you. And there's going to be some difficulties that will arise. But God has promised His power, and He will do wonders in your midst. I'll do wonders. I've met people that kind of loosely, without saying it, would say this, well, I haven't seen any wonders in my life. Well, you haven't stepped out by faith. The wonders are associated with obedience. You want to see God do something great for you? Then you step out by faith and do something great for God. I will do wonders. Number five, God promised him something here very unique. Look at verse 21. And I will give this people, God's people, favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Look at me. This is all the way, we're all the way back now at the base of this mountain. As that bush that's on fire not being consumed, and God Himself begins to speak to Moses. This is what God told Moses. Let me tell you something, Moses. I want you to step out. This is what I want you to do. I'll do wonders. And after I do wonders, He will let you go. And then God says this. Let me tell you what else I'm going to do. I'm going to give my people, who you're going to go and lead, I'm going to give them favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Now, I want you to hold your place. Let me go ahead and give you the beginning and the end of this, and let me give you a point. We're going to go on to something else. But hold your place if you're willing to turn this morning, and I want you to look at Exodus chapter 11, just a couple chapters away. Let me show you what God meant by this, because this is important. Because if you're going to step out by faith and do something for God, you need to know this. Exodus chapter 11, look at verse 1. Just a couple verses. I want to read it. And the Lord said unto Moses, now this is all the way, now Moses has gone and obeyed, and now here he is in Egypt, and now the plagues are beginning and all this stuff. Look at verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, yet I will bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards he will let you go hence. That's exactly what God said way back in chapter 3. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. In other words, he's not just going to let you go, he's going to make you go. Now notice, look at verse 2. Speak now in the ears of the people, let every man borrow of his neighbor. That word borrow is an interesting word. It means take. Let every man borrow of his neighbor and every woman of her neighbor jewels of silver and jewels of gold. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants and in the sight of the people. Moses came down against Pharaoh and against Egypt. And guess what? In the middle of all that happened, God not only did wonders, he changed the hearts of Pharaoh's own servants and of the people there in Egypt. Get this. They changed their tune and started having respect for Moses. Get this. This is the whole picture. God saying, Moses, when he tells you to get out, you're going to have to get out quick. And you're not going to have a whole lot of stuff. How could they have anything? They've been in bondage for 400 years. They're slaves. They didn't have money. They didn't have silver. They didn't have jewels. They didn't have anything to take. I mean, what were they going to have when they do leave? And how were they going to survive when they do leave? And God says, listen, you tell them that I am literally going to give those people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. It meant that literally they went to their neighbors and the Egyptians began giving them things. Began giving him their jewels and their silver and their gold. Take this with you. You need this. You deserve this. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Now look at me. I want you to get this. Most of the time in my life, what I'm dealing with and what God's trying to do, God has to change me. But on some occasions, when it is needed, God can change those around you. God said, Moses, let me tell you how in control of this I am. You just obey me. But when it comes down to it, I'm going to turn the hearts of those people in your favor. I'm going to take people that hated you, where you were wanted for murder, and they're going to love you, and they're going to respect you. In fact, so much that they're going to start giving you things. And everything that you think you need for this journey, I'm going to use them to give it to you. That means God brought things from the least possible that you could ever expect. God brings things from the most unlikely places and people. Why? Because God can change their heart. Now, do you mind if I give you about just 80 seconds of personal testimony? When I first came here as pastor, oh, Lord, 6, 7 years ago now, something like that. Of course, I first came and took 2 years. I asked Brother Joe to stay longer than he originally intended. I wanted, he's been here. I wanted him to make it to 50 years. And I don't, had no desire to push anything out. Or him. I wanted him here. I still want him here. I hate, because of health issues, that they can't be here more than they are. He's my friend. He's my close friend. He's my mentor. He, Brother Joe is my pastor, so I understand that. But when I first came here as pastor, who knows how that's going to go? And I know that over time, sometimes if people don't know you, and man, I joke a lot and say things a lot kind of a thing or whatever, and man, I'm picking and all that stuff, but you know what? Sometimes I know things or whatever, and you know what? I had a pastor friend one time kind of give me some advice, and I started taking it about the time I first came here. I know some of you sitting here didn't like me. I know some of you sitting here might still not like me. I'm just glad you're still here. But I know, and I knew, and I could see it. And probably on sometimes I can still maybe see it. I don't know. But here's what I began to pray. God, I don't deserve to be here. And neither do they. This is your house. None of us are deserving of this honor. But I said, God, if this is where you want me and this is what you want me to do, God, please, would you turn the hearts of those who don't like me and at least turn their hearts where they would at least let me be their pastor. Now, I'm going to tell you something. All you can do is be yourself. And there's sometimes there's people that are just not going to like you. I don't care what you do. but I have watched the power of God turn hearts. Now, there's not been a lot because this church has just been wonderful. But I wouldn't embarrass individuals here in this room by giving you the illustrations of things. But I mean, I'm telling you, I mean, to the point, didn't like anything, whatever the case might be. And over time, God has just turned them into the point that they see me as their pastor and they love me and they follow me and all those things. You know why? Because God is bigger than you and He's bigger than me. And dear friends, some of you have some people at work and you have a boss at work and you have some family that a lot of things are going on. And I'm here to tell you, you got it all wrong if you think there's something you've got to do to change them. You can't. But God said, if you'll just obey me and do what I need you to do, if the people's heart need changed, I can do it. Can I tell you this morning, you needed that more than you ever know. If you could get a hold of that, one of the biggest things that God promised Moses is, I'm going to give you favor with him. That comes from God. Let me give it to you last so we can end this. Last, he says this, I'm going to give you not just my persuasion, I'm going to give you the favor of the people. But he said this, I'm going to give you my plenty. Now, if you would, look at verse 21. I love this. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that when you go, ye shall not go empty. You see, right now the people were empty. Right now they had nothing. Right now they've been working for scraps, and right now they've been in slavery and bondage, and right now they really didn't have anything. But God said, Moses, if you'll obey me and step out by faith and just do what I've asked you to do, you will not leave empty. So what happened? Because of the persuasion, because God changed their hearts. Notice this, look at verse 22. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment, and ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians, which means that you will literally get what they have. It means this, as you head out into the wilderness, that you don't have clothes for your children and you don't have all the things that you need, but God says, I'm not going to let you go empty. I'm going to fill every need you have. You know, one of the biggest fears sometimes by stepping out and doing what God's asked you to do is the fear of being able to provide for yourself. The fear of being able to, well, how am I going to get this? And how is this need going to be met? How am I going to pay this? And how am I going to do that? God says, listen, I'm going to give you a guarantee, Moses. You will not leave empty. They might be empty right now, but if they obey me, they won't be empty very long. Can I tell you, you and I were empty before we got saved. But now we've been given all the riches of Christ through His blood. We are empty no longer. What's interesting in Exodus chapter 12, I love this. As Pharaoh told them to leave, and Bible says that they had to use unleavened bread. They didn't have time for the yeast to rise. So that's why we have unleavened bread during Passover and all this stuff. And we'll talk about that another time. But verse, you don't need to look at it. If you want to, chapter 12, verse 35 says, and the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Listen to this. So that they lent unto them such things as they required. Whatever they needed. Whatever was the need. God used the enemy to fill it. Can I tell you something today? God has promised you His plenty. You are not empty anymore. If it's needed, if it's required, God can bring it. I don't know about you, but whatever God might be stirring in your heart at times to do, or maybe something every Sunday morning these past 5-6 weeks, maybe something just keeps nagging along, or something just keeps, may I say this? Would you just step out by faith? You don't have to understand it. Look at me. As Moses, here we are. Pharaoh now has told him to leave. All these plagues have transpired. All this chaos that has been going on in Egypt. Now all of a sudden the Egyptians are bringing jewels and silver and gold, and they're bringing it all to the children of Israel. A little tidbit of information that a lot of people don't even know. I mean, that not only were they just take off and leave, and some people give the ideas, man, they just had to grab whatever they could get their hands on and get out of there. No, listen, God gave them more than they needed. Can you imagine in the middle of all this, and they're getting all this stuff, Moses, as they're getting ready to head to the promised land, as Moses looks, he remembered all the way back at the base of that mountain, that bush on fire, and God himself speaking to Moses. And God said this, let me tell you something, whatever is required, I'm going to give you plenty. I will do wonders. I will give you the favor of the people. And whatever is required, I'll do it. I challenge you this morning. This is what you need to know when God asks you to go. It's a lot. It's fantastic. And if you will just go back to these principles, God's promised this to you. So let's just get up as a church. Let's just step out and go. God, please, would you help us this morning? Would you help me? Please, would you give our people somehow a heart, a desire to step out and go? Lord, we have some people in front of us that really need you to change the hearts of some people around them, some family, a boss, some people at work. It really is becoming such a burden. God, you can change the heart if it's needed. God, you promised in your word that you can do wonders. Lord, we have some folks that need some miracles. They need you to do something that you've never done. And Lord, they need you to do something that they've never seen. And Lord, they need you to do something that they don't even know how to describe to you in prayer of what is needed. But you know. Lord, we love you. And Lord, as an 80-year-old man stands there with the greatest task in the world yet to come, you told him exactly what he needed to know to go. You didn't tell him everything that was going to happen. You didn't give him the end of the path. You didn't let him know all the little things he was going to face. You didn't read to him the end of the book. You just told him what he needed to know. And God, please help us to step out and go. If you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we sure would love to show you from the Bible how you can know that. We have some men that'll be up front in a minute, an invitation. You just come to one of them. We'll be glad to take you in privacy, show you how you can know for sure. We would do everything we can do to not have you be embarrassed in any way, but please don't leave if you don't know that you're saved. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Let's all stand all across the building. As folks are at the altar, would you step out and come? You say, preacher, that's just intimidating for me. Well, this is time to step out and go. This is the first step to say, God, this is what I want. This is what I need. Lord, I ask you to bless this invitation. Bless our people. Please, dear Lord, bless them. I ask you to do your work as only you can do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.